Well, with us by phone is local attorney Don Lipmanson. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Welcome to Forthright Radio on KZYX and Z. So there has been a very interesting move by the U.S. Supreme Court affecting cannabis. Would you please tell us what happened?
Actually, the Supreme Court case affirms, and that's, we're going to talk about a California Supreme Court case, but there is a U.S. Supreme Court case. It was just, it wasn't actually decided. The Supreme Court declined to review the Cobb versus Garden Grove case, which basically means that a state marijuana law is not preempted by federal law. It's a terrific decision. It just came down. And Americans for Safe Access, ASA, deserves a good deal of credit for having pushed that in underlying case Cobb very hard. So medical marijuana laws of the various states are alive and well. But the case I think that you're referring to is People versus Mensch, which the California Supreme Court decided on November 24th.
Well, let's talk about that then.
Yeah. You know, I was hearing the dead presidents blaming the world being destroyed by the white males. This ruling was by a white female. So, with that said, but it's a beautifully, clearly written opinion by Justice Werdiger for the entire court. And she immediately addresses the issue, the only issue really in this case, is who may qualify as a primary caregiver for medical marijuana purposes. Now, medical marijuana caregiving is a big, big issue has been a big issue in the last few years in terms of defense of people who are busted for growing or transporting marijuana. And the exact nature of what it means to be a caregiver was fairly vague. The caregiver concept, primary caregiver is the term that they use, and it goes back to the original Proposition 215 from 1996, which authorized certain patients to use medical marijuana and which also authorized designated primary caregivers to grow for those people or to supply them with marijuana. So exactly what kind of protections this primary caregiver status conveys to people involved with marijuana has been up in the air for a while, and now it's been settled. So what the Mensch decision stands for in brief is that a defendant whose caregiving consisted only of supplying marijuana or instructing the qualified patient on the use of marijuana cannot qualify as a primary caregiver and is not entitled to raise that defense at trial. So what this means is that the notion of a caregiver has been really, really narrowed, and we'll talk about that a little more. And the other part, the other aspect of the People versus Mensch holding is that the medical marijuana program of 2003, which is more commonly known as SB 420, and which has been put into the Health and Safety Code as Section 11362.7 and some other sections after that, does not offer any additional defenses on behalf of a primary caregiver.
So in other words, they overturn SB 420?
No. They just said that SB 420 does not give any additional protections to a primary caregiver beyond those that were originally set forth in Prop 215. Now, there is a portion of SB 420 that's still very much up for grabs in the People versus Kelly case, and that is the plant and quantity limits statewide and countywide. The question is whether that it was constitutional or not for SB 420 to amend Proposition 215. But everybody better be prepared that there's a major, major effort in California to limit and narrow medical marijuana quantities and the circumstances where it's legal to grow and possess marijuana under the medical marijuana program.
All right, why don't you very briefly tell us, as it is now, before Kelly is decided, what is the law?
The law is basically that a qualified patient can grow, possess, transport an amount of marijuana that's reasonably related to their current medical needs. Other important things, there have been a few cases recently. A current recommendation, if you are subject to a search or arrested, a current medical recommendation is not absolutely mandatory as long as you have had a medical recommendation in the past, a legitimate medical recommendation, and you still have the same condition or conditions and you're still using medical marijuana. So that's one helpful thing. In terms of most of the cases that I see involve claims of caregiving as well as just being the patient. In other words, somebody was growing for himself or herself and a few other people. Now, your patients for whom you're a caregiver, the rules have been very, very narrowed down. And basically what the court is saying is that a caregiver now has to show that they're both caregiving for a patient who has designated them as the primary caregiver. In other words, you have to be pre-designated before you actually start growing or giving the marijuana. You have to be pre-designated as their caregiver. And probably even more difficultly for most people is you have to have consistently maintained responsibility for the welfare of your patient before you ever started giving him marijuana. In other words, the caregiving component cannot begin after the person has started to receive marijuana from you.
And the reports that I heard mean that the kind of caregiving that you have to give before you start growing plants is like feeding, administering medicine, taking to doctor's appointments, that sort of thing.
It's deep. To use the language of the Mensch decision, basically to exercise Proposition 215 caregiver authority, one must be a principal, lead, central caregiver responsible for rendering help in providing daily life necessities for seriously or permanently ill patients. In other words, it's no longer okay just to occasionally drive them to the doctor. It's no longer okay to just occasionally give them some food or some help. There needs to be an ongoing, daily, consistent relationship between you as caregiver and your patient, which they talk, primarily they're identifying spouses or domestic partners, children caring for parents who have come down, who are needing chemo. I assume the inverse also would be applicable. A parent who's caring for a child who's come down with a serious illness and needs medical marijuana. Now, I say child, I mean, that could be, you know, a 60-year-old parent caring for a 40-year-old kid. But you really have to take responsibility. There has to be a lot of ongoing responsibility. Another category that qualifies as a legitimate caregiver are in-home nurses, hospice workers, that kind of thing.
Now, go on.
Yeah, there are a couple of key phrases that I think I'd like to quote that'll, I think, clarify this more. Let's talk about what is no longer a valid defense for a caregiver. You can't be a valid caregiver for a person unless all the marijuana that you're caught with is being possessed or cultivated for patients. In other words, if you have a hybrid where you're taking care of some patients legitimately, but you're also distributing some to people who are not for whom you are not the designated and legitimate caregiver, your caregiver defense goes out the window. Also, the Mensch case specifically says that you don't have a caregiver defense where you're providing some of the marijuana to co-ops or clubs, and what they said was, in summary, Proposition 215 is not intended to protect anyone who grows too much or who tries to sell it. So folks, everyone who's listening to this program ought to understand that the caregiver defense, by and large, is not going to fly for many people anymore.
Now, what about dispensaries?
The dispensary is going to have to take way more consistent, have way more consistent involvement in the daily well-being of its patients than had been the case before. This is going to really, really, I believe, cripple dispensaries. Now, maybe the dispensaries will find some way around this, but they're going to have to actually do much more than simply provide marijuana in order to qualify under the caregiver defense.
So that's People versus Mensch, recently settled. That's settled law now. Is anyone going to try and take that to the Supreme Court of the United States?
Well, the Supreme Court of the United States is not going to take up the case. It pertains only to California law.
Right. Okay.
So that's it.
We're going to open up the phone lines. I'm sure the listeners have many questions for you. 895-2448 to speak with local attorney Don Lipmanson. Don, I've heard a lot of talk that there's a lot of small growers being busted and a lot of prosecutions by the district attorney, some people saying over prosecutions. We have a call. We'll take that call and then let's get back to that question.
Sure.
Good morning. You're on Forthright Radio.
Good morning, folks. Hi, I'm Skipper. I have a question for you, Don. Earlier on, you, in regards to just patient take care of themselves, you said that you're able to grow, possess, and transport what is your current medicinal need. Now, who or what would decide that amount, and where could a person find that information to print out somewhere?
Sure. Well, 11366.775, Health and Safety Code. Maybe it's actually 11366.77. Sets those limits statewide as 12 immature or 6 mature plants and up to 8 ounces of medical marijuana. But it also authorizes the counties to exceed that. But if you're going to ask me where Mendocino County stands right now, I'll be darned if I can tell you. It's changing constantly, and whatever the guidelines may say, honestly, doesn't mean very much. I mean, we ought to be really blunt and honest about this, and I wish I was seeing more of that from law enforcement. It's basically up to the subjective decision of the deputies, in my opinion, right now.
All right, thanks. We have another call. Good morning. You're on Forthright Radio with Don Lipmanson.
Well, I'd just like to say that unfortunately the problem is that there are so many people hiding behind medical marijuana to make big profits for themselves, but they claim that they care so much about the sick, and these people are truly ruining it for the good people who provide medical marijuana to people who are ill, and so many of these people are not caring about how they treat their neighbors, no matter how good their neighbors are, if their neighbors are good humanitarians. They're suddenly accused of being these horrible people who don't care about the environment just because they've been affected by the violence that has come to them involving marijuana. I mean, it's somehow not violence if it involves marijuana. If the same violent act happens and it's not marijuana, everybody is so upset and it's so terrible. But if you're attacked by a pit bull and it involves your marijuana, somehow it wasn't a bad attack. Oh, he just nipped your arm. That kind of thing. And so we really need, it is so important that the people who are legitimately growing and legitimate caretakers are protected. That is so very important. But also we have people who choose not to engage in the marijuana network, and they have to be protected too.
Thank you, Carl.
May I just quickly respond to
that?
Yes,
of course.
I'd like to add one thing. In Mendocino County now, to be lawful, either as for a lawful medical grow, you also have to put up a 6-foot fence around any outdoor plant.
That's anywhere in the county?
Anywhere in the county. That's on the sheriff's website. That's a minimum mandatory requirement. And I would also say, I mean, we're trying to be realistic here. If one wants to be really safe, and either as a patient or a caregiver, I would not exceed 6 plants per person under any circumstances.
Now, is it possible under the Mensch decision for someone to have more than one person for whom they're growing? I mean, it seems not...
It's possible. I mean, you could grow for, let's say, a caregiver could also be a patient for him or herself. So you could grow for yourself, one person, if you're a, if the caregiver is also a legitimate patient with a recommendation. You could probably grow, you may have a, you know, you can grow, as I was saying, for your spouse or your child or someone who's living in your house for whom you're providing low rent or, you know, a very close, long-standing friend. But this relationship basically has to precede the giving of marijuana. And it's going to be extremely hard to stack up more than one or two people for whom you're caregiver.
We have, of course, lots of phone calls coming in. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on Forthright Radio, and we're running out of time.
Oh, thank you for the program. My quick question, I don't know if it's been answered or asked yet, and that has to do with a legal caregiver. If the caregiver is unable to grow marijuana by oneself, or the family doesn't know how to grow it, are there dispensaries like a pharmacy or someplace that is designated that is officially acceptable for the caregiver to go to get the marijuana that's needed for the patient?
I have grave concerns that that's going to be possible after the Mensch decision. I don't see how you do it. Now, you can do a collective. People can gather together and grow collectively on a piece of land. That hasn't been addressed. But each of them has to be a valid patient on their own, or you may have, again, that one or two people for whom you're... I mean, one or two isn't an absolute number. It's conceivable that you have a whole sick immediate family that you're caring for. But what I'm urging people to do is really err on the side of caution for whom you can grow as a caregiver. So it may be possible with a little bit to do some collective growing, but I think the dispensaries will tend to get taken down following Mensch.
All right, we have time for one more quick call. Good morning. You're our last call.
Good morning, Dawn. Kate Clark in Comshi.
Hi.
I am so concerned about the legitimacy of sick people in this state. I know of so many people who rely on medical marijuana and high-quality medical marijuana for so many ailments. Do you see, I mean, I realize that, you know, there's a backlash here. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel in terms of people being able to form legitimate cooperatives and pay taxes and have this be regarded in the highest esteem that it should be? And I totally agree that people have abused the system, but you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. This is an important medical component of our society and also recreational, and I think
okay,
people...
I think we get the call. We're
yeah.
running out of time.
I think Justice Chin's concurrence talks about, he talks about how Colorado, Nevada, and Oregon are somewhat more relaxed about their caregiver requirements. In other words, if what Kate Clark is talking about, if to accomplish that, we need to modify proposition, we need to have another, either a law or another initiative to liberalize the rules if people think that's appropriate.
Okay, now let's quickly get back to that over-busting and over-prosecution. What have you experienced, and what is your opinion on that?
There's been an awful lot of busting of small gardens, but one of the problems is it's no longer, given Mensch, it's no longer possible to be, from a legal perspective, too critical of it, because I think, you know, by and large, a lot of these small gardens do represent an overextension of what is now of the caregiver statute.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that for now. Thank you very much, Dawn Lipmanson. I'm sure we'll be calling you again as these continues to evolve, this whole question of care and marijuana.
Sure. Well, I'm sorry to have to be, you know, in a way, I suppose, from lots of people's perspective, really negative, but the law is quite clear now.
All right. Thanks a lot. Dawn Lipmanson. Forthright Radio is a Beyond the Deep End production, broadcast live each first and third Wednesday of the month at this time.